The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
McKibben has been showing us how to get it done for over two decades now. He's been on the green front lines as an author, an educator, an activist, an all-round climate change rabble-rouser. That's why we love him. One of my heroes. He is now on his way to show the Obama administration how to get it done. And Bill is on the show today, I am thrilled to say. We're going to chat with him in just a moment. In our second half, we'll be talking to a new friend of mine, Leslie Sheridan. She has a company called Planet Sense. She is helping companies go green on several fronts. We'll find out how that's working out in these recession times. But as I say often and believe strongly, the future is green or not at all. And one of the leaders trying to green our future, Bill McKibben, does he need any introduction? You may have caught him on David Letterman's show. Hopefully he was introduced through that program to lots of mainstream Americans who may somehow not be tuning into their environment enough and not know what Bill is doing. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what a pleasure to be with you. I apologize for the ambient noise in the background. We're in a big van driving south towards D.C., and we're towing behind us one of the original solar panels from the Carter White House.
And we're going to hear all about that.
Well, noisy, that's why. Yeah.
You sound great, Bill, and just don't go through too many long tunnels. If we lose you, call us back, because we want to hear all about this amazing journey. I heard you on the Letterman show mention that, of course, Carter's solar panels became Reagan's nightmare as far as environmentalists are concerned when he took those panels off in 1989. And when Reagan died and there were so many accolades and all the right-wing media people were just singing his praises as the best president ever, I hardly ever heard anyone mention, I'm screaming, wait a minute, he took off solar panels. What's up with that?
And, yeah, you know,
outrageous.
We regard too often Jimmy Carter as a kind of ineffective president and things. But in fact, in many ways, he was very, very much ahead of his times. In some ways, of course, Reagan behind the times. We've been screening as we go along a terrific documentary movie called The Road Not Taken. And it shows these solar panels, Carter putting them up on the roof. And it's very poignant to watch because he, you know, there he is looking young and wearing big fat necktie and everybody has long sideburns and things. But this is 31 years ago, and they're all absolutely confident that this technology that they're putting on the roof of the White House is going to spread across America in the decades to come. Of course, that's not what happens. We stop the clock. And if anything, America produces less renewable energy now than it did when Carter was president. It's a great tragedy. There's no use at some level mourning the tragedy too much longer. The point now is to try to figure out how to reboot this system and get going. And that's one of the things we're up to at 350.org as we work on this solar thing. But I got to tell you, this is one of the most fun things in a while. The van full of really inspiring kids from Unity College in Maine, which is where these panels have been ever since they came off the White House. Somebody asked if they could salvage them, and they said sure, and they've been up making hot water on the roof of the Unity cafeteria. And in fact, they make hot water just fine. The one that we're traveling with today, we poured a gallon of cold water in at 8 this morning, and by 9 it was steaming hot. Just sitting on the sidewalk in Boston where we were showing it off to people this morning.
Well, that's a great use if they're not going to be greening the White House. We now have a green president in the White House, or at least we voted for one. What are you planning to do when you get these reused, recycled, but still good solar panels to that big house there on Pennsylvania
Avenue? We're hoping that someone at the White House will accept them from us. as a sort of down payment on the promise to get solar panels back up on the roof, brand new, spanking brand new ones. A bunch of companies have offered to donate those for free. There's free labor to be had. It won't cost the taxpayers anything. It'll save the taxpayers money because then we won't have to pay the electric bill for the White House anymore. The sun will be doing the work. So we hope that, I mean, we don't think we're going to get up there tomorrow with Obama pounding in the solar panels, nice as that would be. But we think that at the very least, we should get a firm commitment that they will be looking hard at how to do this. Not whether or not to do this, but how to make it happen. And I think if that's the upshot, then this will have been well worth the trip. In fact, the trip's been a good deal of fun anyway, so I'm glad I came anyway.
Fun is good, and you had a little bit of fun with David Letterman, and that was a great appearance. And
yes.
Not to dwell too much on the past, but I've always wondered, what was the logic, what was the rationale on the part of the Reagan administration when they took these panels down? I can only imagine. Did you do any
their
research
reaction
to that?
I mean, their motive was they didn't like renewable energy. They liked oil. This was a kind of hippie nonsense that they didn't want, you know, cluttering up their White House, you know.
Unbelievable.
What they were
really
thinking, yeah.
I just wonder what they actually said and what if there was any, you know, hue and cry.
They never put out a press release or anything. They just took them down.
Quietly in the dark of night, sort of like how GM rounded up the EV1, the first electric car, in the dark of night and took them off to Mesa, Arizona to crush them, only to see them come alive again. And I guess that's the whole point of this journey.
Exactly right.
And what are the prospects? Do you think have you had any response so far from inside the Obama administration?
We've been back and forth with the White House. I think with any luck, we'll end up meeting with somebody, you know, useful at the White House. Who knows who, but we'll get some kind of, we'll move the ball forward some anyway.
Mm.
None of this stuff ever happens as quickly or as cleanly as it should, but that's no excuse not to keep on trying.
Well, you're certainly trying to get a lot of media attention, as you should, and I hope there's lots of cameras there when you arrive. Bill, you have been on the forefront of trying to raise awareness on the part of Americans and activism, coalescing activism around climate change. Aside from this fun trip you're on right now, and we do hope you are successful, there's been some setbacks over the past year. Last year for Step It Up, 350.org put on this great global event, and there was a lot of hope going into Copenhagen, and then a lot of deep disappointment. And then, of course, that followed by the Senate completely dropping the ball on climate change legislation this summer. How are you feeling?
Oh, I think there's no question but what we're losing, and pretty badly. And, that's all bad. What's worse is just watching the weather play out this summer across the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, that too.
Everywhere, that's just, a good foretaste of what global warming in its early stages feels like. So, it's easy to be depressed. I think we're not going to get any congressional action for the next 2 years, at least. That means that we're going to need to spend that 2 years building, finally, the really strong, vocal, aggressive movement that we should have built many years ago. If we do, then the next time that nature or politics gives us some kind of opening, we may actually be able to exploit it to get done some of the legislative work that needs doing. That's why we're having, this huge global work party at 350.org on 10-10-10. Not only because it'll allow people in thousands of places to be doing good things for their community, setting up solar panels, whatever, it'll also allow them to be able to send a strong message to their political leaders. Look, we're getting to work. What about you, and if we can't begin to get that message across, then I don't think we're ever going to have much luck.
You did put on an amazing event, or people around the world put on a group of thousands, of amazing events to raise awareness. Give us some of the highlights. You do have a lot of pictorial examples on the website, 350.org, but just which ones stand out to you as being most amazing?
There are so many. There are about 25,000 pictures on the website from those 5,200 demonstrations, which CNN said was the most widespread day of political action in the planet's history. I love the pictures from unlikely places. There were probably 200 demonstrations that were all women in full burqa or chador in Muslim parts of the world. they don't look to our eye like environmentalists, but they care about the future as much as anybody else. There were most of the people who took part weren't the typical stereotype of rich white environmentalists. Most of them were poor or black or brown or Asian or young, because that's what most of the world is.
And I saw you speak on Earth Day this past April in San Rafael. You were fabulous as always, and I love how you're very kind of low-key, but you are telling it like it is, Bill, and your book, spelled E-A-A-R-T-H, certainly has a message that we are living now, not just in the future, on a different planet, a changed planet. For those who have been sleeping in a cave for the last, year or so, what's changing on our planet, other than the weather?
Look, the Earth is really a fundamentally different place than it was even a few years ago. We've only raised the temperature of the planet 1 degree, but that's been enough to cause all kinds of big shifts. Everything frozen is melting quickly. The atmosphere is about 5% moister than it was 40 years ago, and that's what sets us up for these record rainfalls that produce scenarios like the flood in Pakistan. It's still the same number of continents. Gravity still applies, but the world is really fundamentally different.
Do you think that folks are connecting the dots? I know certainly environmentalists, we in the green media movement are trying to connect the dots, even if mainstream media is not, between these extreme weather events, like not only the epic flooding in Pakistan, but the fires that raged in Russia. Are they even all out yet? It's on the front page, but perhaps not completely, you know, a non-story.
Well, I think the real story that's still going on in Russia is that they've suspended all grain exports as a result for a very long time, at least through this year and probably next. And that's caused the price of wheat and corn on international markets to spike, and there have been food riots in the last few days. And so, you know, these are the kind of big shifts and changes that we've really got to be worried about.
And wasn't there a shift in thinking at the top of the Russian government because of the fires?
I don't know how much of a shift in thinking. Dmitry Medvedev did say that he worried about climate change. On the other hand, the Russian economy is so firmly tied to coal and gas and oil that I think the possibilities of really large shifts are fairly minimal coming from them, at least without real leadership from the U.S.
You know, there's been such a perfect storm of environmental events that even we're just now 15 minutes into the interview, I'm just mentioning the oil kill of the summer of 2010.
Yeah.
Killed everything in sight, including almost tourism. I hope they're beginning to rebound. But could we ask for a better perfect storm of dramatic events to really coalesce our focus? And yet, it doesn't quite feel like it's there yet. And, of course, that's what you're trying to do with your trip and also with 10-10-10-350.org projects coming up. But what's your sense of the Americans?
I'm afraid it'll take a while.
Americans, they certainly seem to be connecting some dots when the oil was gushing. Do you think we have such short-term memories and in such good stead when it comes to denial that we're going to go back to business as usual? Is that possible?
I think we haven't done a very good job as a movement of keeping focused on climate change. We spent a lot of time talking about green jobs and energy security and other nice things, but really, you know, from the president on down, there's been far too little attention paid to the basic fact, which is that the planet is deteriorating, disintegrating around us. That's what we've most got to deal with. And so our job at 350.org really is to try to bring attention back there. We take our name from what's the most important number in the world, what the scientists tell us is the most carbon we could safely have in the atmosphere, 350 parts per million. A number, unfortunately, that we're already well past at about 390 parts per million, which is why we're seeing things like Pakistan and Russia. That means we need really to get to work. And for a movement, you know, that means we need to get bigger, louder, more aggressive, drive that message home.
I couldn't agree more, and that's why I continue to try to get the word out through my radio programs. And it seemed like 2-3 years ago we were finally getting people to tune in to their environment, to really listen. And then the recession hit. And we can't be concerned about the environment and recycling and climate change. We need jobs. And, you know, George Bush didn't help when he was telling us that we couldn't have, you know, in the Senate back in 2002, when the Senate voted against improving CAFE standards. It will cost jobs and hurt the economy if we do this. Well, they did nothing, and look what happened. Companies were nearly lost. And so that argument shouldn't hold water anymore, even though we are certainly in extreme economic times, and green jobs are important. They're a part of the solution, part of the way out of this.
It's hard to think of anything else that's going to create jobs as quickly as an effort to transition our energy system quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It holds the real potential to get that job machine going, because you can't send your house to China to get it insulated. You know, you have to do it here.
And that town in Detroit that was, you know, shuttered down and now is being revived because of the, I believe it's GM's Chevy Bolt. They're opening up
the plant
there. Yeah. I mean, that's an example of what has been talked about for years, and yet we need to bring it up to scale. How can we make it more scalable, transition?
Well, the key thing is political. We have to get Congress to put a price on carbon that reflects the damage it does in the atmosphere. When that happens, fossil fuel will be uncompetitive against renewable energy, and finally we'll see this go from a trickle to a flood of new projects. But that's a political fight. The power of the oil and coal companies is concentrated against ever making that happen. They like the current arrangement where they're allowed to use the atmosphere as an open sewer and for free to dump the byproducts of their main product into the atmosphere. And we've got to stop that from happening.
And they're dumping tons of money, the oil industry is, into Proposition 23 on the California ballot to reverse our historic measure.
Absolutely. And Prop 23 will be an important fight. We're involved in it heavily, and we better win it or else they'll feel emboldened to do that again and again and again.
Now, cap and trade didn't happen. Do you, Bill McKibben, think that cap and trade is the answer, or do you perhaps think the fees and dividends model is more realistic, and is that something that you have been campaigning for?
Well, we know now that cap and trade isn't very realistic because it didn't get very many votes. didn't really come close in the Senate. So maybe we need to figure out another model, perhaps the kind of thing proposed by Susan Collins and Maria Cantwell, senators from Maine and Washington, would be a little sturdier, the way that, you know, it would collect fees from the oil companies and return them as dividends to individual Americans who'd get a check every 6 months or something. That's a plan that, it seems to me, stands some chance of gaining a little more political traction. But none of it will happen until we're really concerned, until we've built a movement that matters about climate.
And how do we do that? I guess it's what you're doing, what this program is trying to do, and
your efforts are much appreciated. We're doing the best we can. We're having this big 10-10-10 thing, which looks like it'll be even bigger than last year's extravaganza. We're moving on to a huge global-scale art project at the end of November, and then next year I just published an open letter in Grist magazine with the leaders of Greenpeace USA and the Rainforest Action Network, asking people for ideas about how we can use civil disobedience and mass direct action in the years ahead in order to move further down the line. Movements need to do all kinds of different things, and so we've got to get to work.
And I don't know if this is from the same post, but I love what you said. I'm a mild-mannered guy, a Methodist Sunday school teacher, not quick to anger. So what I want to say is this is effed up. The time has come to get mad and then to get busy.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's been a maddening summer, and the options are to despair and go away, or to, get annoyed and get down to it.
And get busy. And anyone who has a child in this world, and I know from your book, maybe one, that you have one beautiful daughter, as do I, and that book helped me feel better about starting later in life and only having one, environmentally certainly, and got the quality instead of quantity, as I'm sure you did too. You can't give up when you're a parent or a grandparent, and you shouldn't, and many people who are not parents don't have any intention of giving up, but it seems to me that parents should be in the forefront of this movement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody of a certain age who's lived long enough to be burning coal and gas and oil all their lives should be in the forefront of it, because we've done the most damage.
And I love the fact that religious leaders on so many fronts have really joined this effort, and that makes sense, too.
That
and that brings
happy.
It out, outside the box. Tell us how people can participate October 10th, Bill.
Well, you got to go to 350.org and either find an action already happening in your community or, better yet, sign up one yourself. They needn't be elaborate. They can be creative in all kinds of ways. We heard from people in Auckland, New Zealand, where they're training dozens of bike mechanics to go out and fix every bike in the city on 10-10-10. I just heard a minute ago from people in Mexico City who are going to be collecting hair from every hair salon in Mexico City to use it for sopping up oil from the series of spills they've been having down that direction. You know, there are 1,000 different ways to do it. And at the end of the day, you got to put down your hammer or your shovel or whatever it is and pick up the cell phone and call your leaders and say, look, I'm getting to work. What about you?
And when people say, well, you know, it's not going to make a difference what, you know, I do or individuals do, and then the government says, you know, this is too big to handle, too hot to handle politically, whatever, the ball gets dropped and dropped. In fact, it's going to take all those things at the community
That's
level,
right.
The individual level, the consumer, the corporate, and the government, and beyond.
That's what a movement looks like. And, you know, people should do most of their work close to home, but save some of your energy for this national and international work, because without it, we can't even really come close to succeeding.
Well, as Danilo Meadows eloquently said, and this is a very quick paraphrase, you know, the environment, our environment is the field that holds up all players. Without that, there really is no game.
Absolutely right. Dano is an old and dear friend of mine, and I miss her all the time just for that kind of wisdom.
And you have the same wisdom, and thank you for sharing it with us, Bill. And any last words as you are you in New York today?
We're getting close to New York. We're someplace in Connecticut right now and making our way as fast as we can down 84 towards the big city. We'll be at Solar One tonight for revival meeting, and it'll be a good deal of fun.
And then those people want to join you in at the White House September 10th, is that the day?
Yeah, we're going to actually, the place to join us is Thursday night at All Souls Church, a Unitarian church in downtown Washington in the evening. That's when we're having a big meeting there, and it'll be a lot of fun.
And I sure hope that President Obama does the right thing. After all, he is our first black president, but also our first green president. And let's give him one more chance to show his stripes. And thanks again, Bill, for all your great work.
All right.
And we'll be spreading the word about 10-10-10. Have a safe trip.
Great.
You're listening to The Green Front. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and that was one of my heroes. I hope you are aware of Bill McKibben's work. If not, go to 350.org, read one of his many, many books. He wrote The End of Nature back in the late 80s, I believe, and has not taken a break since then. And he's kind of quiet, soft-spoken, but very bold and very much a man of his word and action. So a very inspiring leader, one of many up there on the Green Front Lines, but one of my favorites. When we come back after this break, I'm going to introduce Leslie Sheridan. She has a company called Planet Sense. It's a green consulting firm, and she's going to talk about some of the opportunities and challenges of launching such a business in these recessionary days. But after all, the future is green or not at all, so that should yield some opportunities. We'll get a reality check right after this.